From the heartland of America and the gateway to the West, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie, and welcome to Coast AM. Later tonight, those open lines, who knows who will call. Hey, by the way, here we go, starting the Labor Day weekend. Those of you who are working, enjoy the weekend. Those of you who are not working, enjoy the weekend. And regroup yourself on Tuesday and hit the pavement. Get out there and see what you can do. Here's what's happening. Hurricane Earl weakening now to a Category 1 with the winds down to about 70 miles an hour. That's good news. It has stormed its way to the northeast. Watches, warnings have been reduced or dropped from Long Island to Maine. The National Hurricane Center in Miami said that a hurricane warning for the southeast coast of Massachusetts was reduced in size. But the warning still remains in effect for areas including Cape Cod, Nantucket, and Martha's Vineyard. Top sustained winds have decreased now to 70 miles an hour. But Mitch Batros continues to monitor this storm. And you know what, Mitch? I've not been in a 70-mile-an-hour storm, but I bet that could just about knock you over, couldn't it?
Well, that's right. You know, before people let their, you know, their guard down, and especially the local residents there, I would say if you have not left by now or yesterday, then don't. Just go ahead and button down the hatches, and I think you're going to be able to ride this one out. It's when people try to migrate in midstream, if you will, and it gets very chaotic. So luckily, it has reduced, but it still can cause quite a bit of damage. I mean, even 70-mile, 85-mile-an-hour winds, it will uproot trees. It will down power lines. Living in Seattle, Washington, some of our biggest storms were 60-mile-an-hour winds, and it caused quite a bit of damage, including broken windows out of high-rises. So you got to watch out for broken glass as well.
Hey, Mitch, why do these storms pick up steam over the ocean, and then they die down once they're on land?
It has to do with temperature. It's all driven by temperature. The hotter the waters, the more dangerous the hurricane can be. Cooler waters or cold front or temperature, ambient temperature, all reduce, you know, its fuel, if you will. So that's why Bill Reed, who's now the director of the National Hurricane Center, it really was up front 2 days ago saying that he believed that it would reduce because of the cold front that was coming across the northeast, and he was correct. But he does remind people that, you know, 70-mile-an-hour winds can still cause some damage. But I think the merchants in particular are probably really feeling a sign of relief. However, that may not be the case in New Zealand. I don't know if you have that on your list, but the 7.4 earthquake hit New Zealand just a few hours ago.
I don't have to do it now. You did. Go ahead.
I apologize, George. That's my job. That's what I do. It has caused some severe damage. Not many deaths have been reported. I don't have any calculation of that. No tsunami was created. However, there was quite a bit of damage, including buildings that have collapsed. And the way this one guy, and where the earthquake hit was near Christchurch, New Zealand, not just 19 miles away. That's close for something this size. There's 400,000 plus people in the area. And one guy described his experience, unfortunate experience, as literally as they're running outside, which may not be the best thing to do. It just depends on where you are and what's happening. But anyway, they were running down the hallway and was literally being bounced from one wall to the other. That's how severe and active these earthquakes can be. It's incredibly visual, depending if it's deep or shallow. This one sounds like it was probably more shallow. I have literally seen roads loop like a roller coaster. Rise to like 6 to 10 feet and then come back down. It's amazing.
Mitch, what's new with EarthChangesMedia.com?
Well, we're monitoring all this, of course, as we always do. Right now it's hurricane season, and it's not letting up. Fiona is right behind Earl, and Fiona's not giving up, following the same track as Earl. In fact, matter of fact, two more behind her. Gaston G-A-S-T-O-N, is right behind Fiona, and right behind that, they have not named this next one. And they're saying right now it's a 30% chance it'll turn into a tropical cyclone. Right now the winds are, you know, relatively low. Gaston is picking up and letting off, still at tropical storm winds, but it is following the same path as Fiona. So I'm certainly monitoring the earthquake because of the season. The hurricanes because of the season. But there is no season for earthquakes or volcanoes, and that certainly has all been very active. In addition to that, there's new information about a gamma ray burst, which I'm finding that quite interesting, that they continue to talk about charged particles more than I've ever seen, George. And all this, again, tells me that because of the instruments that we have up in space, the spacecraft that are monitoring these events and going further and further, we have a better knowledge of how all this works. And everything, all the data, if you accumulate it and put it in one package, does one thing. There seems to be a collection of focused charged particles that have entered our galaxy, the Milky Way. And if this coincides, which I believe it will, with Mayan prophecy, that there is a narrowing band that seems to be focused to our solar system. So I'm expecting a continued phenomena to occur. Certainly I'll keep you posted. And so that's what Earth Changes Media is monitoring.
You got it. Thanks, Mitch. Well, here's a story. The U.S. Agriculture Department employees working full-time at two Iowa egg farms at the center of that massive salmonella outbreak and massive recall ignored complaints about conditions at one site, according to two former employees. The ex-workers at the Wright County Egg Facility, Robert and Deanna Arnold, said they reported problems such as leaking manure and dead chickens to USDA employees, but that nothing was done. The outbreak has led to the recall of 550 million eggs, sickened thousands of people. Actor Paul Hogan, star of the Crocodile Dundee movie trilogy, has been cleared to return home to the United States after he was barred last month from leaving Australia because of a disputed tax bill. The 70-year-old Australian-born actor, who currently lives in Australia and Los Angeles, arrived in Sydney on August 20th to attend his mother's funeral and was served with an Australian taxation office order barring him from leaving Australia until he settles a multi-million-dollar tax bill. While his attorneys and Australia tax officials kind of worked things out and he was able to return to the U.S. Stress may make you want to pull out your hair, but those locks could be the key to measuring just how much stress you're under, according to a new study. The study found that the stress hormone cortisol can be measured in hair, providing the first long-term record of chronic stress that doesn't rely on a person's memories. High levels of cortisol in hair was associated with heart attacks. And the guy who monitors all these stories for us, Christian Wild, with us. Christian, we've known for a long time that stress causes problems, but I didn't know you could find out by just looking at the locks of your hair, huh?
Well, Samson knew a lot about the hair.
Yeah, I
got to tell you, George, what we've been told all our lives that stress kills. So that's pretty much a given. But what's been missing in the information is which particular destructive mechanisms are activated when we are under stress. And today's study indicates cortisol is now considered a stress hormone and is one such contributor. The article also claimed that it is the only biological marker to measure chronic stress. I don't believe that's accurate, because in 2006, the Whitehall 2 study from the United Kingdom had documented that people under stress raise a stress protein called fibrinogen. And when it is raised, it can dramatically increase heart attack and stroke. Now, more than one time, while you and I were talking, someone has called in to ask what causes calcification. One of the major factors for creating calcification is now known to be elevated levels of fibrinogen. And you might recall, George, that the longest chapter in Hidden Causes of Heart Attack and Stroke. For those of you who have the book, it's chapter 25, and it's all about this stress protein. MD, PhD, Ronald Lawrence from the Institutes of Health and founder of the American Athletic Association wrote this comment, which I will be forever grateful for. He said, "You've been visionary in your early identification of what might well turn out to be the next major breakthrough in stroke and heart attack prevention." He went on to say, "After my more than 50 years in the medical profession, you have even opened my eyes. I'm convinced that the information will save many lives." And still today, George, physicians are not testing their patients for this marker, even though the Heart Association and the Framingham study had identified and earmarked it as a major risk factor.
Christian, my friend, you need to be given an award because you're saving lives every day. You're one of a kind.
You're too kind.
Christian Wild, website, myheartbook.com. Crystal skulls. There are a number of human skull hard stone carvings made from crystal or milky quartz rock, known in art history as rock crystal, claimed to be pre-Columbian artifacts by finders. However, what is going on with crystal skulls? What kinds of powers do they possess? Next 2 hours, we will bring you four special guests. We will talk about crystal skulls. Up next, Stephen Mailer, The Crystal Skulls, Astonishing Portals to Man's Past, next on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back this Friday night to Coast AM. Stephen Mailer has been involved in crystal skull research since 1979 as an archaeologist and prehistorian specializing in the area of ancient cultural artifacts. Stephen discusses all kinds of information about crystal skulls. He's been on the program before, and here he is again, Stephen Mailer. Hey, Stephen, how are you?
I'm fine, George, and it's great to talk to you again.
Likewise. You know, these crystal skulls seem to be coming up more and more as we get close to 2012. Why is that?
Yes, well, because there is a connection. As you spoke to Mitch Batros earlier, with the weather changes that are going on, people saying maybe leading to 2012, the increase in weather changes. So there is these legends, stories, rumors coming out that the skulls are connected to the Mayan calendar, connected to the date of 2012. They definitely seems to go in waves, George. As we've spoken about before, there was a great interest in crystal skulls in the 80s, again in the late 90s, and it cooled off for a while, and now again there's a great interest. So that's why these conferences have been arranged, and they're going to 9909, 101010, 111111 to 121212 to correspond to these calendars and these dates and predictions that a lot of people are saying. And a lot of people think the crystal skulls are involved in maybe aiding humanity through these changes.
How many skulls are out there? 13, Stephen?
Well, one of the themes of the conference we're doing is the Legends of the 13 Skulls. I will be speaking of that in detail at the conference. There is a legend that's gone on now, and it seems to really have permeated to the idea that there were 13 original skulls. Now, the idea has gone so far, in my opinion, over the top, that here is how it stands now, George, that the legend is that there were 13 skulls that were from different alien races that were given to the Atlanteans, and they're supposed to all come together before December 21st, 2012.
Now, when you say come together, what do you mean?
Well, gather in a group.
What do you mean in a group? They don't have legs, Stephen. How are they going to do this?
Yes, sir. They have keepers. So there seems to be certain people who get a calling to these things. Now, the two gentlemen I'm going to speak about in great detail at the conference, of course, I always like to use the quote when I talk about this of the great Sir Isaac Newton, who's one of my favorites, was a great physicist as well as Rosicrucian. He had the quote, "If I have seen further than other men, it is because I have stood on the back of giants." When it comes to crystal skull, I've stood on the back of behemoths, and that's the two gentlemen you spoke about, Marcel Vogel and Nick Nocerino. Now, we all have felt that there's certain people get a calling to these things. You go to a shop, you look at a crystal skull, people buy them, or they get called to the certain areas to read certain books. And so there are people we call keepers who seem to be the ones who are the guardians of these crystal skulls.
Nick, When I'm going to talk to Michelle in a few minutes, who
and that's very exciting because Nick had a lot of children, and Michelle is the daughter who has now decided to honor her father's memory, and she's going around with the skull that Nick had. So it's very exciting that Michelle is now coming out publicly and going to be speaking about her father.
Absolutely, Nick's skull, Stephen, was Shana-Ra, right?
Right. Okay. Remember, right. You used to think it was Shana-Na.
Exactly, an old rock group.
That's right.
What does your gut tell you about these crystal skulls? You've looked at them for a long, long time. What do you
think? Yes, and the thing is about the idea of the ancient skulls, and this is what I'm going to be specializing in my talk and what I specialize and what I learned from Nick and Marcel. Now, there's a lot of people out there who use that term loosely, ancient crystal skull, and most of the skulls that we see that people say are ancient turned out to be contemporary or modern carved. Now, there's a controversy going on in the academia about saying that all the skulls are modern carved, but in my background as an archaeologist, prehistorian, I have a feel for artifacts and a feel for ancient. And it's when you look at a skull like Shana-Ra, all you have to do is run your hand over it, and you see that it is not smooth. It is not finely polished. It was carved by hand. So that's one indicator right away. You're not dealing with a modern carved skull. Because when we talk about these contemporary skulls carved within the last 100 years, they're finely polished, finely carved, usually with diamond-tipped drills and modern lapidary carvings. And so that's one of the things we can see right away. Okay, that's not an ancient skull if it's got this what we call bilateral symmetry. It's really finely carved and polished, et cetera, et cetera. But when we look at the ancient skulls like a Shana-Ra, they are not carved to be sold. It is something where you have the intent of the carver. Now, the controversy is who carved them. Okay, a lot of people want to say aliens. A lot of people want to say Atlanteans. I believe that there were advanced, as you know, and we've discussed this many times before as terms of Egypt, that there were many advanced cultures on this planet, not just sure. What we would call Atlantean. And a lot of them had the ability to carve these items, and they were used as powerful ritual shamanistic items, store information, store energy. And they do work together, George. That's why we say it's great that all the keepers come, bring the skulls together, because when they gather in a group, they definitely work together. And that's why these events are exciting. I was involved in a series of crystal skull events in the late 90s when Nick Nocerino was involved and Joanne Parks and Max, who you've interviewed, put on by Dr. Chet Snow in Sedona. And they were very exciting events. These events now, I think it'll be even more exciting because we have Mayan elders involved in this event.
What's it like to be in a room with all these crystal skulls?
Boy, George.
Can you feel it?
You know, it's amazing because I've had so many people over the years who are skeptical, you know, say, oh, they're just rocks. There's nothing to them. And you just see the reaction in people when you get a convert with somebody who's really skeptical, then you really know something's going on. Yes, it's this tremendous, you know, quartz has the ability to be piezoelectric, which means if any quartz is squeezed, it produces a minute electrical charge. We have our computers, our watch pieces, everything we have is so much dependent on the silicon industry, the silicon chips, quartz, because of its ability to work with energy and with charges. So, yes, when all these crystals are together, when you chant with them, when you produce sound, we're going to have music and just meditation. They all activate and they work together. It's a tremendous energy, George. People are going to come to this event and get very, very high. And we always tell people that sometimes you can overload, you know, go into the bathroom, splash a lot of water in your face, because there's going to be tremendous energy when all these items are together. And that doesn't mean even just the ancient ones, because all crystal is ancient. This is one of the things that I want to clear up, you know, in these events, because people, when I say that we're sticklers for the idea of the ancient crystal skulls, so people say, well, you know, are those the only ones that are important? No. All crystal is ancient. All crystal has power. A skull that could have been carved last week can still be a powerful ritual object to be worked with, to transfer and work with energy. All crystal is ancient.
Have you ever seen a crystal skull with the eyes turning red?
Well, we've seen them glow. A lot of the skulls that we worked with, again, particularly the ancient ones, when we turn the lights completely out, they do seem to have their own aura, their own glow around them.
All right, tell us about the conference, Stephen. Where's it going to be?
The conference is going to be at the Educacy Center. It's in ARE is hoping to put it on. It'll be downtown New York. We've got three Mayan elders, Humbats Men, Don Alejandro, Don Pedro. They're going to be speaking at the UN on October 8th, and I'm going to be at that event. It's very exciting. First time they're allowing Mayan elders to speak at the UN. And, of course, they're going to be speaking about their prophecies, what they see things are happening. And the conference itself is in the 9th and 10th. down at the ARE Center, 30th and 8th Avenue, I believe it is. And the event keeps expanding, so they may even find a different venue. So that's really great, too. And there will be, I can't say there will be 13 ancient skulls, although what's exciting for me, as you said earlier, George, there's a lot of skulls that have been popping up all the time now.
Absolutely.
We're constantly getting information about new ones. So there's going to be a lot of skulls I'm going to be anxious to see for the first time that are purported to be ancient. But there's at least 4 or 5 that I know of that are genuine ancient skulls.
Sounds exciting. Thank you so much, Stephen. Up next, Michelle Nocerino joins us. Plus, we'll take phone calls on Coast to Coast AM. Absolutely. And Saturday night, who's on but none other than our friend Ian Punnett on Coast to Coast AM. You've got a great guest coming on, Ian. He's a good guy.
Well, I've got a couple. Looking forward to the first hour. Are you talking about Peter Bogdanovich?
Not only Peter, but also Andy Goss.
Oh, good. See, I don't know who you're hanging out with these days. So, yes, Peter Bogdanovich, the director, the famed director and actor in Hollywood, coming on for the first hour tomorrow night to talk about the future of movies. He's an expert on films, and that's what I'm going to ask him about, as well as the last movie he did, a movie that was the last movie with Brittany Murphy before her mysterious death. And then, yes, we'll be talking about the gold in Fort Knox. Ron Paul brings up the question, exactly how much gold is there left at Fort Knox? Who has seen it? Could it all be gone? And we're counting on Andy to tell us more about the gold at Fort Knox and what it's possible status might be tomorrow night on Coast to Coast.
It's all gone. Goldfinger took it.
That's right, Mr. Bond.
You got it.
Right,
see you later, Ian, my friend. Have a great night and enjoy your Labor Day weekend. Up next, we'll be with Michelle Nocerino on Coast to Coast AM talking more about crystal skulls. We'll be back. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. I'm George Norrie. This half hour, we'll be talking with Michelle Nocerino, the daughter of the late F.R. Nick Nocerino and the guardian of the ancient crystal skull, Shauna Ra, as I just mentioned with Stephen Mailer. She is just now starting to present Shauna Ra to the public, and Michelle is one of the family members who's taken on the role since her father passed away in 2004, and here she is on Coast to Coast. Hello, Michelle. How are you?
Hello, George. Good evening.
Hey, I've got to tell you, your father was a giant in this field. I mean, absolutely a giant, and you've got to be proud.
I am very proud and very honored that I'm able to be here, having my father recognized and acknowledged.
How long did he have the skull in his possession? A long time. A long time, right?
There were a number of the he had many skulls that came, you know, that he worked with and that he saw. Shauna Ra is the only ancient skull that he was guardian to, and I believe it was about 10 years or more, 15 years, I'm not sure.
What did you think when he was doing all this about skulls and bringing some of them home and, you know, talking about them? What did you think about that?
Well, it's actually kind of interesting that I'm the one that is...
You've become the curator.
The curator and guardian. It was my dad's... I always said, oh, you know, the skulls, I'm not going to have anything to do with the skulls. That's... And he would have skulls at the house, and I would sit down with them and work with them. And it was sort of just, that was what my dad, you know, was doing in his research. And it's been just recently, as we're all aware of, that I'm, honoring my dad's work. I wanted my dad to be honored and recognized, and felt that to have Shauna Ra and a family member representing, you know, the skull.
Sure. I think that's admirable for you to do that too. You just basically, I was going to say you picked up the torch and ran with it, but I'm going to have to say you picked up the skull and ran with it.
Yeah. Pretty much.
What do you think of these skulls personally, Michelle, when you look at these?
They're incredible. They all have an individual, you know, energy to them. They have a unique life force energy that's universal in its impact, and they seem to touch people at their core, you know, their soul, spirit, and produce profound insights and changes in people. And it's this has started out with my wanting to honor my father and his work and his legacy, and it's turned into something much deeper and much bigger.
Oh my God! Yeah, absolutely. Tell me about your dad. From the moment you were a little girl, the things you remember about him. Tell me about him.
My dad was you know, big in the crystal skull world and all of that. But my dad was a wonderful father, and he taught what he, you know, he taught through his actions. I had a great childhood. You know, they say that you pick your parents, and if that's true, I picked the best.
You did well there. Where were you born? What city were you born?
I was born in San Pablo, California.
Oh, super, super. Well, he had a devotion about this, and you know, most people who get involved with these crystal skulls and these incredible powers that they apparently have truly get involved, but he ran with it. But the one thing he was able to do, Michelle, that not a lot of people have done, is he garnered the respect from so many people who were just beginning to learn about crystal skulls. I mean, even with you, you know, this started for you about 10 years ago when you started getting involved with it. For your father, and the things I know about him, he was able to get people fascinated with the subject when they didn't even know what was going on. And I found that to be an incredible gift. I really do.
Yes, he absolutely, he was, you know, he was a teacher of teachers, and there were many things that, it was the crystal skulls, this would be another radio show, but, you know, ghosts and parapsychology, the paranormal, the, you know, metaphysics, there was so much that he taught and that he was connected to. But he was also, you know, a family man, and a father, and people will ask me, well, did you think your dad was weird? None of this was weird or strange because of the way my dad, the way he lived his life and the way we lived.
Did he ever sit you down and say, Michelle, I'm going to tell you about these skulls, and these are what I think they do. This is where I think they're from. And, you know, what do you think? Did he ever do that?
No.
No, really?
No, my father was a little more subtle than
really.
That. He would, it would be more like, you know, he'd have a skull at the house, and it would be out on the kitchen table, and he'd say, "So, what do you think of this?" And I, you know, we'd sit down, or I'd sit down with it and give him my whatever I picked up and my insights in that regard. But
you're not supposed to ask a woman her age, so I'm not going to, but I'm going to
ask my age. I'll be 52 in
all right.
a couple of weeks.
I was going to say, so you're in your 40s when he started this, I guess, huh? Or late 30s? I would have found out one way or another. I would have tricked you that way.
Oh, you don't have to trick me. I'll answer your question. I don't have a problem with that. You're asking me what age I was?
Yeah, when you really started to be aware that Dad was involved with all this stuff.
Oh, I've been aware that my dad has been involved with all of this stuff for many, many years. And as I said, the crystal skulls, you know, crystals, his teachings, and all of that. But I would say that it's at least 20 years or more.
Micah, in your opinion, Michelle, why did he have such a passion for this?
Because as a child, he had the first vision of a crystal skull. He didn't know what a crystal skull was. That appeared in a mirror as he was going up a staircase. And then through his life, the skulls came to him. And or he would, you know, he would, people sought him out, or he would be somewhere, he would travel the world, and these skulls would come up. So I believe that we don't know, you know, why that is, but that's why he had such a passion and such an interest. And he didn't really seek skulls. People came to him, and skulls came to him.
That's fascinating. Now, what do we know about Shauna Ra, which you're now starting to present to the public?
We know that Shauna Ra is an ancient skull that was found on a dig in Guerrero, Mexico, that my father had intuitively, he had told them where to dig, and then he went down to Mexico. And they told them where they would find a skull, and they found the skull, and that's where, you know, Shauna Ra has come into to our lives.
Do you feel mystical around the skull?
Yeah,
you do.
I mean, there's definitely a connection.
You can feel that, can't you?
Oh yeah, but the skull is so much. Also, you know, there's a lot of my dad in the skull.
Yeah,
so
that's
my first connection. And then as I work with Shauna Ra, there's, you know, there are other messages, and things are changing and transforming, and it's pretty amazing.
When you look at the skull, how often do you think of your father?
Always.
Always. It's always there, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, it's almost like there's some guidance there.
Yes.
I would think.
Yes.
There are about 13 crystal skulls out there right now. Some people say they've been made by man. Other people say they've been made by ETs. Other people say, I don't know. What do you think about these crystal skulls? What's your gut tell you?
My gut tells me that... I don't know. I honestly don't know. And as far as there being 13, you know, are there just 13? Are there 13 in 13 geographical areas? Are, you know, is it just a matter of 13 coming together? I believe that with what we're with this conference and us coming together with these skulls, it's going to have an amazing positive impact, because the skulls, you know, are here as messengers of consciousness and to elevate us to the next level of, you know, a planetary awakening of sorts. So
have you ever felt that the skull was trying to communicate with you?
Oh, yes.
Or you do feel that?
Oh, yes. And actually, I also have... a smaller skull that was in my dad's curio that began speaking to me, and I figured that I was really going nuts.
Now, the mouth wasn't moving, was it?
No.
If it was, I'd be out of there.
Yeah. It was one of those, you know, this is in the very beginning of my, you know, going around with Kirby and with Shauna Ra, and at the time I didn't have Shauna Ra, you know, in my presence, but I did have this skull, and I'm sitting at watching TV, and I'm getting these, you know, this messages from this little skull, and I'm like, okay, you've lost it now for sure. yes, the messages do come, and they come from, you know, definitely from Shauna Ra. And other skulls that I have, you know, that were my dad's for the most part.
Do the messages feel positive, or is there any negativity involved with this at all?
With the messages I'm getting,
yeah,
it's positive. So, I believe that this is, it's on a positive level. It's what we're putting into it and what's reflecting back.
Do you think they're geared toward 2012 or beyond that? Is there a timetable here?
I think that there's a timetable in as far as that we as a, you know, a planet and humankind, that they're here to bring us together to wake up. and we need to do that. And 2012, I believe there's some correlation, but I also believe that it will go beyond 2012.
So I'm just wondering, Michelle, that if on December 21st, 2012, all these crystal skulls, the ones that seem to be, you know, legitimately real, they all glow on that day, or something happens, or there's like a message that comes through, almost like an Indiana Jones movie or something. you never know. You never know. Something could happen.
Well, like it's that. There's going to be a shift in it, because it's a shift in our consciousness anyway. Things are constantly, you know, happening. And like the conference in New York is, I believe, going to have amazing positive impact and awakening and movement. We need to come together as one, and I believe that the skulls are here to help us recognize that and do that.
Your father received guidance from the crystal skulls. It became a very integral part of his life.
Absolutely.
And did he have, in your opinion, incredible intuitive powers, or he had these things, didn't he?
Oh, yes. My dad was very, very intuitive. His intuition, these things, it was, my dad used to say that he, like if he were just sitting here talking to you and then with the skulls, that, you know, all of a sudden it would, I don't know how to explain it. I know what it is, but it's like this story that just goes in front of him, of a skull. And then a day or two later, the skulls show up. But yes, my dad was very intuitive.
Did he ever have for you or for your family a message of guidance or of prophecy that he felt the skulls gave him? Did he ever see anything like that?
My dad felt that the skulls they had knowledge within them, and that if they as they come together, that if it would not create peace in and of itself, but that we can see within the skulls the catastrophes and the things that we've done in the past, and if we listen and we recognize that we can be aware and make changes.
So as far as the future holds for you and Shauna Ra, what are you going to do?
My premise is to do healing work. I'm going to school at the Academy of Intuition Medicine, and combining that with Shauna Ra. I feel that we have a responsibility to the people and to the masses, that they can, you know, that Shauna Ra is a part of this collective awareness. And I'm just sort of here to do what I can to, you know, for a positive, good change.
Good for you. Are you excited about this? It's a new mission for you, isn't it?
Yes. I'm excited, nervous.
What are you nervous about? Have you're not nervous now, are you?
Oh no, not hardly at all. Yes.
You're doing great. Just, you know what, Michelle, here's a little tip from old George. Just be yourself, you'll be perfect. That's all you gotta do.
That's what I'm doing.
that's all you gotta do. Carry your dad's message. You know it better than anybody, and the old crystal skull will help you too. Up next, we'll talk more about crystal skulls and take some phone calls on Coast to Coast AM.